This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Chad Daybell, his trial is getting underway, and it's going to be a very interesting one to watch. Is this going to be a repeat of Lori Vallow? It doesn't seem to look that way, especially his attorney, John Pryor, setting up. We have expert witnesses. We have a lot that we're going to present in the defense of Chad Daybell. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Now that we are here, we're at the start line of the likely 6 to 8 week Chad Daybell trial. What are you expecting to see in this in terms of defense of Chad Daybell?
I expect them to turn everything in the direction of Lori. I think that she's going to be their overall scapegoat. But with the expert witnesses that they are planning to call, it tells me that they are going to actually try to mount some sort of defense against the evidence and the determinations that were made.
What kind of expert witnesses do you think we're going to see take the stand? And what do you think they're going to be trying to say to sway that jury in having some pity for Chad Daybell?
Well, I think one witness likely will be digital forensic witnesses that help try to put him not at the location that he was at, which is, of course, the pet cemetery. They're probably going to try to paint that he wasn't actually there for the amount of time he was. Remember, it wasn't a huge amount of time compared to Lori's brother, who was, I think, doing all the dirty work. Mm-hmm. But I think that will be part of it. I think also in terms of Tammy Daybell, recall that initially her death was ruled an accident. Mm-hmm. And then later, after she was exhumed, they said no asphyxiation and she was murdered. So I think they'll have experts on that. Was she really asphyxiated, or was the initial determination by the ME correct that it was just an accident? So I think I expect those to be kind of the main experts.
It's going to be interesting because it's one thing, I think, to a jury when we're talking about some sort of spousal issue and one murders the other. Obviously, absolutely horrible if that happens. But I think it ends in a whole different direction and a whole different amount of weight gets put on it when you're talking about kids that were murdered. Especially, it's not even your own kids. It's your wife's kids or your girlfriend's kids, and they were found in a bucket melted in your backyard. It's not like they're missing. You add that to the mix. So while maybe one can argue the Tammy thing, although that looks pretty damning as well, add that. I don't know how they're going to get beyond that this stuff was in the backyard and the phone call. I mean, that phone call is so damning where they're in the backyard and he's talking to Lori in prison. It's not necessarily the actions of an innocent man.
No, I agree. I agree. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's going to work. Mm-hmm. But I think that they're going to give it a Hail Mary, few Hail Mary passes. And unfortunately, the expert witness world is full of individuals that will take money for opinions not based on really probably a good opinion, but just an opinion that will support who's hiring them. Mm-hmm. Many experts won't take a dime for that, for what they don't believe, mm-hmm. right? They've already had their careers. The last thing they want to do is lose their integrity by going out on the limb, mm-hmm. Saying something they don't truly believe in. But in these types of cases, because there's not much money left, remember the experts, they're going to be on a tight leash in terms of the amount of money that's even going to be agreed to by the court.
Sure.
To be expended. Although I don't know, are we considering him a private attorney at this point? I suppose we are. I just don't think there's much money to spend on really good experts. So I would expect excellent experts on the prosecution side and maybe not so excellent on the defense side.
Do you think we're going to see Chad take the stand at some point in this? I mean, they can have all the experts they want, but I mean, is this maybe it's usually not a good idea, but I wonder if that's going to be the ultimate Hail Mary at the end. Is Chad, tell your story? And it's the story of, you know, being manipulated, of betrayal, of just being an idiot, and really just kind of playing that card. I don't know how else he's going to play this at this point.
Well, I think it'll depend on how things are going. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a, you know, fourth quarter decision. How is everything going in that trial? Is it just looking so bleak that there's no other possibility? Or are they feeling that maybe one of the jurors is buying into it? And I do think that in these types of cases where the kids were just, you know, mutilated to the degree they were, and the fact that they have some throwdowns, they have the brother, they have Lori. And so, but particularly the brother that would have actually done the heinous crime, right? I think that they might try to see if there's any, you know, indication from the jurors that maybe one of them is nodding their head, like they believe. I mean, this is something I can tell you as a case agent, when you're sitting next to the prosecutor, so when his deputy assistants, they're going to be watching for all of this. Mm-hmm. And same with the defense side. They've got people that are just going to be watching the jurors as people testify. You can tell a lot. Are they already looking away? They don't even want to hear what this witness has to say. Are they shaking their head no? Are they shaking their head yes in agreement? So all of that, Tony, if they feel like they have even one, I don't think he'll take the stand. But if it looks like just, I think they'll see him on the stand. They'll put him on the stand.
Probably one of the biggest positives for Chad is the fact that Alex Cox is dead. Because you can kind of mad lib it if you want and insert narrative here of here's what Alex did. And well, we can't prove it. He's dead. But we believe that this was all that. And it's kind of, well, I mean, it's up in the air. I mean, unless you have proof that what you're stating is true.
Right. Dead men can't talk.
Exactly.
So when they have that perfect setup scenario. And so I could see that. And recall, too, nothing came out really that negative from the standpoint of from Lori regarding Chad. Chad has always been off her. She won't turn on.
Yeah.
And that's very helpful to Chad.
Yeah.
But just imagine if she took the stand and talked about everything, but she's not doing that unless there's some major turn of events.
Well, that's what I wonder about here is, are we going to see Chad flip on Lori in some sort of very dramatic stance? I mean, it seems like that might be going that way, judging by the affidavit that was filed late last year, which basically says we were just the minions of Lori. They're walking right up to saying we did it without saying we did it. If he does flip, I think that's going to make for another very interesting Lori Vallow trial when that one comes up as well.
Oh, Lori Vallow is completely done.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if she just pleads at this point, judging, and I'm strictly judging by her whole demeanor, the weirdness during her sentencing, the weirdness that she displayed at the hearings regarding this case. She seems like she's mentally just lost it, although I will say, physically, she looks amazing. She looks so much better. Like, prison is treating her right.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, I think she's found very crafty ways of working on her image and her look.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.